This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
If you take a look around any car park right now, at the supermarket, at the beach, or outside work, you can see just how our relationship with cars is changing in real time. We've got bigger vehicles, new brands, more electric options, and also plenty of hesitation. Joining us on Drive is Peter Griffin, Director of State and Territory Advocacy at the Federal Chamber of Automotive Industries. Peter, welcome to Drive.
Thank you very much.
When you step back and look at the 2025 numbers as a whole, what story do they tell about Australian car buyers right now?
Well, the market's pretty steady this year compared to 2024, so just over 1.2 million vehicles sold. Overall, on the roads of Australia, there are about 21 million vehicles. So, you know, not everyone's buying a new car every year, but that's still a good number. And a couple of trends we've seen this year. First up, sedans and hatchbacks are dropping in popularity. We've seen that as a trend over the past few years. So, you know, the days of the Commodore and the Falcon in the garage are long gone. And they just make up 13% of sales. But SUVs and utes, they're the cars of choice for Australians these days. So that's one trend. And the other is Australians are definitely moving towards lower emission vehicles. So we've certainly seen significant increases around plug-in hybrid vehicles, and to a lesser extent, EVs.
Just on that, you know, we've seen a noticeable rise in cars coming from China. What's driving that shift, and how are we as buyers responding to these newer brands coming in?
Well, look, if you go back 50 years or so, you know, we've seen changes as vehicles from Japan and then maybe Korea have moved through. In recent years, there's no secret that China has been investing significantly in the automotive sector, and particularly around EVs. So this is just a natural part of the change in the market. We're going through a significant change. Some of the issues you touched on, Warren, in your intro, you know, show that we're probably in a space of more change than we've seen in the past 100 years in the auto sector. So what the brands from China are bringing to us are high-quality vehicles across a range of specifications and sizes, engine types, and it's creating more choice for Australians. And at the end of the day, competition is a good thing for Australians with choice and price.
Let's talk about the Japanese manufacturers. Are they behind the rest of the world in terms of EV production, or are they taking a different long-term approach?
I think you'll find that manufacturers can be taking different approaches depending on what suits their particular market and their outlook for consumers into the future. There's no doubt that the world isn't really moving down that electrified path. And at the moment, we're seeing hybrids and plug-in hybrids are the vehicles of choice right now. But there are more and more EVs on the road every year. Currently, they're making up from all sources about 8.3% of new vehicles sold. We'd like to see that number higher, frankly. But it's a behavioural shift for people to make that change. There's no doubt the future is electric, but the rate at which we get there is something that will take a while.
We're chatting with Peter Griffin, Director of State and Territory Advocacy at the Federal Chamber of Automotive Industries, about what the 2025 car sales data reveals. Peter, you mentioned plug-in hybrids. They've more than doubled in sales. Why do you think they're resonating as a middle ground for so many people here?
Great question. There are a lot of things that people need to take into consideration when they're buying a car. We all know that. We've all been in that position. And, you know, issues that are top of mind are, well, what do I want to use it for? Is it for work? Do I want to take it to the beach on the weekend? Do I have a family I need to move around? You know, what's the need? What size car do I need? And so on. We look at issues like total cost of ownership and so on that come into the equation as well. So there are many things that are taken into account. And so the vehicle has to meet the need. That's the primary function, regardless of what that drivetrain might be or the power source might be that people choose. So with plug-in hybrids, it's a bit of a middle ground at the moment, I suppose. As we've seen with hybrids, there are tremendous savings from a fuel consumption perspective, but you still have that confidence of knowing that there is a petrol station if you really need it. with electric, pure battery electric vehicles, they are fantastic if they meet your needs. There's some brilliant technology on the market, but we're really keen to see more public recharging infrastructure around the country to give consumers more confidence that if they need to recharge, that they'll have that ability to do so when they want, where they want, at a cost that's reasonable.
How does our EV uptake compare to, say, the rest of the world? Are our driving conditions and distance part of the difference?
Look, it's a very complex story, but in simple terms, the answer is, Warren, it depends. In some countries, say in Europe or Norway, for example, and through to China, we see high levels of EV uptake, and that's also supported by strong levels of consumer incentives that are offered by governments. In other countries like Australia, our friends across the ditch in New Zealand, Italy, the United States, they're all under 10% as well, and they're markets that don't have significant incentives to support EV uptake. So it depends where you are. Currently in Australia, the federal government offers a fringe benefits tax support for people who can move into an EV, particularly if they're leasing a vehicle. That's proven to be very popular, but that's currently under review. So we just need to see where that's going to go into the future to support that ongoing uptake. But where we sit with the rest of the world, with some of those big economies like the United States, very much line ball.
Let's, looking ahead, 2026, what kinds of electric vehicles do you reckon are coming to market next, and how might that change the conversation for buyers?
Well, I wish I had a crystal ball that could deliver the correct answer for that one. What we're finding is that technology is changing at an incredible rate, particularly battery technology. So what we'll see into the future, maybe not so much in 2026, but this will continue for the coming years. Batteries becoming far more efficient, more cost-effective. They'll be able to address issues such as weight, so we'll be able to see full battery electric technology into larger vehicles like the utes and the larger SUVs, which right now are harder to electrify. So there's no doubt we're on that path. That will change, but the technology will get better and better. And also in other areas, Warren, such as safety technology, environmental, we've touched on, communications and so on, will just continue to improve as we move through the year. There's going to be plenty of choice. And as we're seeing more brands come into Australia from places like China, there are a tremendous number of models for people to choose from.
It's amazing. You can be driving and you can say, what's that brand? I've never heard of it before. Gee, it looks good.
Yeah, exactly. There's some amazing product coming out of the market. And, as an industry, it's a very competitive industry, but competition is great. That's what you want. That drives innovation, that drives change, that drives better outcomes for everybody.
What role would you like to see government play now, not just in targets and policy, but in perhaps making these choices easier for people?
We have the new vehicle efficiency standard that's in place, which is looking at emissions reduction. That came into being last year. That's good for industry. With any policy settings, you want to have certainty, and that helps with the planning. So we've got that in place. It'll be interesting to see where that leads in the coming years as the targets become more strict and what impact that has on the vehicles that are available to consumers. So we'll see where that goes into the future. Another area that's really important in terms of supporting EV uptake is investment in recharging infrastructure, just to give folks confidence that they can recharge. If you've got a house, solar panels on the roof, a garage, it's not so much of an issue. But many people living in apartment buildings around Prahran or wherever they might be, it can be a bit harder to do that if you don't have off-street parking. So investment in recharging infrastructure in metropolitan areas and regional areas, really important.
Peter, great to chat with you. Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure. Thanks for your support.
Thank you, Peter Griffin, Director of State and Territory Advocacy at the Federal Chamber of Automotive Industries.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.